all I can say is that you want to prioritize. If you're not prioritizing your life, you're letting the world on the outside dictate your destiny. I'd like to share, if I could, a bit of a story and some things that might be helpful to everybody listening, if it's okay. I know I'm starting to warm up here. I love it.
No, go for it, Dr. John. That's amazing.
All right. Now, when I was 27 years old, I opened up my practice. I had a little 970 square foot little office, a little hallway on the side, three doctors, treatment rooms, an exam x-ray room, and a little my office and reception area. And I was quite naive and not experienced. I was okay clinically, but I had a lot to learn on business. And I was doing everything. I was working quite a few hours. And I was doing everything. And I was in my way. I had me a first assistant. And I thought, okay, she's going to do administrative work the best, but I'm still going to keep an eye on things. And I realized I was in my way and I was holding myself back. And I went to a bookstore. In those days, there was a Walden bookstores in those days. This is 82. And I went and bought a book called The Time Trap by Alec McKenzie. I started reading that book and devouring it and taking notes and extracting ideas from it. And then I extracted and summarized it. And this is 38 years ago. And I summarized it. And I came up with a 6-step system that 18 months later, my income was tenfold. I had 5 doctors and 12 staff members in a 5,000 square foot office because I followed what I'm about to share with you. So just in case that could help you, I'd like to share that because it really made a difference. It's helped thousands of businesses that I've shared it. So if you have a piece of paper or can somehow construct something wherever you are, I'd like you to take a piece of paper and put 5 vertical lines in it to make 6 equally wide columns. So if you could do that in whatever way capacity, because this little thing might just be a little gold mine for you. In the first column, I wrote down every single thing that I did in a day. I didn't put generalities, vague generalities like marketing or sales or this and that. I put the actual motor actions that I did in a day down on a list. And I was doing a lot of stuff. And I was doing everything. And this included my personal and professional. So I wrote down every single thing that I did. And I was detailed. I left nothing out. Distractions, telephone calls, conversations, everything. When I made a list of that, as I was doing it, my intuition was prompting me, wow, I'm doing a lot of stuff that doesn't really, it's not priority. And I'm majoring in minors and minoring in majors. That's the first thing that popped in my head. And I was realizing that I would bog down doing a bunch of stuff that wasn't the thing that I, one, went to professional school to do, so it wasn't inspiring to me, and two, it was weighing me down. So that was the first step, and that list was pretty exhaustive. And I realized I was even doing some of that stuff at home. In the second column, I wrote down as best of my ability to how much does that actually produce per hour? How much money does that actually produce per hour doing that action? And I was quite amazed because I did exams in those days. And it was $125 for a 10-minute exam. I multiplied times 6 to give me an idea what I could be generating in an hour if I did that per hour. I did a urinalysis, and that was 10 bucks. And I said, okay, I took 2 minutes. I did 30 of that. That'd be $300 an hour if I was to do it all for the whole hour. I did re-exams. I did consultations. I wasn't charging consultations when I first started. So I put 0. I put reevaluations. I did everything I did, the adjustment, the actual office visit, the consultation, training, developing films. I did every single thing that I did in that office. I wrote it down, and how much does it produce per hour? Extrapolating per hour. If it took me 2 hours to write a report, I cut it in half, $200 an hour. And I looked at everything that I did and I put a dollar value on it. And if it didn't have a value on it, I wondered why. Why am I not charging for that? It's my time. And I realized that I was going by what somebody else told me who wasn't even thinking financially viability. Yeah. And I realized I was confronting my own self-evaluation and all kind of distorted views and mentors that I didn't even give name to, mentors that I was giving power to that I wasn't even thinking. And I just discovered a whole lot of stuff about myself. When I got through that, I realized that I was definitely proven to be spending a lot of time on something that wasn't actually getting me a result, even though I didn't want to admit that because I was busy. I'm a busy guy. And people confuse busyness with productivity. I did. So when I got through with that, I then reprioritized. And by the way, I found something really amazing. When I went out to do talks, breakfast, lunch, or dinner talks, I was averaging per 50 people, an average of 5 new patients. 60 people, 6 is about 1 out of 10 at the time. Mm. And my case visit average was just under $3,000, about $3,000 over the PVA times the offices average, everything else. And so what I did is I realized that me going out and doing a 30-minute to 45-minute presentation at a club or a meeting or some function was generating $15,000 an hour. And me actually being in my actual cubicle adjusting was $1,500 an hour. And that was a real shock to me because I was going, whoa, I went to school for 10 years to go and do that. But this over here is actually producing more results than what I was supposedly supposed to be doing. Yeah. And I had an internal conflict about that. I was going, well, wait a minute now. Because I wanted to reach more people, but I realized that sitting in my office, I was actually undermining my practice to some degree. And it was not something I wanted to face at that time. Mm. So when I looked at it, I then rearranged the entire list according to priority. And I made a list of every single thing based on the what produces the most per hour, second most per hour, and I prioritized the list. I made a commitment that I wasn't going to do free consultations and free report of findings. I started charging for it. And I made them sure that I got it more efficient in time-wise, so I wasn't devaluing my time, because otherwise I was unconsciously trying to avoid doing it because it was devaluing me, but I needed it because I needed it in my practice to grow. So I didn't have anybody to delegate it to. So I got that list done. Then I went to the next column, the third column. And this is actually how much meaning did it have on a 1 to 10 scale? Because sometimes I got asked to go and speak to 2,000 kids that were at a high school, and going and inspiring 2,000 kids at a high school to shift their perceptions on life and to maybe go do something amazing in their life. And the feedback I got from that and the impact I was having on that was deeply meaningful, but they didn't pay a lot, if they paid at all. And they weren't always generating new patients from it, but it was deeply meaningful. So I reprioritized that entire list based on what I believed was meaning on a 1 to 10 scale, and then reprioritized all that based on what was most meaning down to least meaning, because I wanted to do that what was most meaningful and most productive to use my time. And these were sometimes the same and sometimes were different. Most of them were the same though. The fourth column was how much would it cost me to hire somebody who is a professional that was competent to my level or higher, an A person, to do a greater job than I could do doing the jobs. And what would it cost me? Not just their salary, but their space utilization in the office, their training, their equipment, their parking, their insurance, their liability, everything. And I was nitpicky to the penny on what it would cost me to hire somebody to delegate to get those things off my plate. To do the same exact job. And then I prioritized that according to the spread. The spread at which produced the most versus I paid the least to get the most spread to know what to delegate. Then I went to the next column and I put how much time truly on average over a 3 month period, looking day by day by day, because some of the things I did every week, once, sometimes three times a week, there's different things I did at different times. How much time am I actually spending on those friggin' projects, those actions? And then I realized at that moment, wow, I was spending a hell of a lot of time undermining my mission.
Mm.
When I got through with that, I wrote down on the final column, my final prioritization based on all the variables. The final prioritization based on all the variables. When I got through with that, I got a tear in my eye, a very inspiring tear. You know what I mean by that? It's a tear of inspiration, because all of a sudden my executive center came online, which is where you get inspired vision, strategic planning, executing plans, and self-governance. And I got lucid about what was really most important. And then I layered all the list of things I did into 10 layers. And I took the bottom layer, because I learned that delegation was to be done in layers from the least to the highest priority things. And you duplicate yourself late, the last, and duplicate below first. And I layered it and I hired somebody to do exactly that job description that was the lowest layers and freed that. It took me three people to get the right person to do it. So I had to learn about hiring, and I learned that never to hire anybody that doesn't perceive that the job duties that they're about to do is, if they can't perceive how it's helping them fulfill what's highest on their value and their mission, don't hire them. I don't want somebody that I have to micromanage and distract myself from my own mission to go and help them do what I improperly delegated to. As Drucker says, it's you're accountable for that, not them. So it got me three people to get one. That was done. I layered that off. I took it off. My business went up. At the same time I did that, I extracted surplus labor value. I calculated what it was. My volume went up, and I stuck that immediately into investments. I didn't wait. I stuck it in investments, because if you don't put your money into assets that accumulate, you attract liabilities that destroy it. It's a basic law of money. If you don't value yourself, world won't value. If you don't invest in yourself, world won't invest in. If you don't put it into assets, depreciable consumables eat it. Entropy takes over anything that's not negentropic. So I took the first layer out. Then I went to the second layer. And then I did that. And that took me two people to get that person. The third layer, one person. The fourth layer, two people. But over the next 18 months, I took nine of those layers off my plate. And then I found something amazing. Every time I did that, I was able to increase my savings, increase my investments, increase my taxes, increase job opportunities, increase the economy, give jobs, inspire people more, draw in more patients. The world rewards you for being authentic. And I was releasing my inauthenticity so I could be authentic, so I could liberate myself from the bondage that self-worth was destroying myself with, and liberating myself to do what I'm here called to do. So if you're not living by your highest priority, you're automatically attracting, distracting low priority stuff to devalue you, to create symptoms to let you know you're not being true to yourself. So I kept getting rid of the layers. 18 months later, I got five doctors doing all the things that I was delegating, paying them X, extracting surplus labor value out of it, putting that into investments, accelerating my investments. I expanded my office. I started having my own TV show in the office, went to a couple million people, and I started doing massive presentations with megaphones into the parking lots and lights on the streets and stuff to just get my ass in gear. And I went out and did talks and did things that were generating patients. So I was getting at least 100 new patients a month coming in, and that was allowing them to do all the work. And I got to do the highest priority clients who had the biggest impact, working the most efficient hours, so I could go out and spread the message, because those with the mission have a message. And all I can say is my practice, I realized that next in my life, I realized that that was going to place too small. I was going to, at 100 new patients a month, you know, that'd be 50,000 people in 40 years. And I realized on one TV show, I'm getting 2 million. So I realized I've got to expand it. So I started speaking more to the Parker programs and other consulting companies and organizations, and keeping records on the doctor's reports to me of what I was impacting them to see how many patients I was serving. And we got up to 3 million patients a year serving by consulting and helping other ones, which is more than I could do in my practice. I realized I'm holding myself back sitting in the cubicle. I need to get out. And then I realized that there's only 100,000 doctors in my profession. And I realized I've got a mission that's what's bigger than that. I need to start branching this and duplicating this in other industries. So now I've got, you know, we've reached 5 billion people now with radio, television, newspapers, magazines, and all the stuff we've done now because of that. But I follow that same principle, and I don't do anything but the highest priority things. I delegate the rest away. I don't do anything. I research, write, travel, teach, that's it. I don't do anything administrative. I've structured all my electronic wealth building systems, so there's no option but to build wealth. I've delegated everything else off my plate. People joke about it because I delegate people to wipe my ass. My girlfriend, high quality, highly sexy celebrities to make love with my girlfriends to make sure that they're satisfied. I'm joking about that. Don't pay attention to them. But I'm joking about that. But the point is that I delegate, because you cannot liberate yourself from lower depreciating systems if you're doing low priority stuff. You got to delegate it. And you got to surround yourself with people that are more inspired to do what you're not wanting to do, so you can free yourself up to do what you're inspired to do. Because that's where you're going to find the one thing, as Gary Keller says, that's going to build the momentum to do something extraordinary on planet Earth. Mm. So I just wanted to share that, because I think that was a turning point in my existence.
I think just wonderful to go through it in the different layers also. And if there's anything, you know, we try to speak with this group, is often we find that just based on what you said, the less you do, the more you'll make. More impact you'll make, more people you help. And one of my early mentors in my life always taught me that you'll serve more people, help more people, influence more people by being the teacher/marketer of the thing, as opposed to just the doer of the thing. And you really just took that to the absolute extreme of that, and going, if that's my highest priority level, you know, let's just do more of that to serve more people. And
when I went to Parker the first time, I noticed that the technique classes had 75 people. I watched the management groups, they had 200 to 300 people. And then I went to the visionaries up there on the stage, and they had thousands of people. Yeah. And I said, there's a physical, there's a mental, and there's a spiritual domain there. I want to be on the inspired domain. I want to inspire people with a vision and delegate and plan as an executive function in the forebrain, not living in the hindbrain. I don't want to live teleonomically by trial and error and the lowest heuristics. I want to be able to live by the executive center and be the visionary, the strategic planner, the executor of the plan and the delegations, and freeing myself up for doing that. And I love what I do. And that's, if you do that, you have a timeless mind, ageless body kind of thing. And you just have, you're inspired, and you can't wait to get up in the morning and do it. So that's the key. All I can say is that you want to prioritize. If you're not prioritizing your life, you're letting the world on the outside dictate your destiny.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and turn on the notifications so you know exactly when I'm coming on to give you a great tip.